I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, there aren't many of them in Ireland, but there are places that train them. We're going to be talking to one person who runs an establishment. They train guard dogs. And so he'll be telling us what exactly they train them to do. What is the legal situation around guard dogs, which apparently is a little bit grey in terms of if they're allowed to bite you or not. Now, first, though, you often hear about people having a child through surrogacy. That usually happens in other jurisdictions, but occasionally it can happen in Ireland too. Becky Loftus acted as a surrogate for friends with fertility issues who felt they had run out of options. Becky, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, thanks for having me.
If you could start from when the idea first came up. At that time, you and your late husband, you'd already kind of had your kids. Was that the situation at that
stage? Yeah, so we'd actually gone through our own, we had secondary infertility, so we had done IVF and all of that before. It really wasn't something that was on my bucket list to do. Yeah. It wasn't something I had thought about. And we were actually away with our friends and we were just chatting. And it was actually my husband brought up the conversation to them about children, you know, are they, you know, what about their options, things like that. And they said, look, we've kind of exhausted. We don't really have any options. Surrogacy, you know, for people are going outside the country. A lot of the stories we hear can be very costly, from going to America, which can be over 100,000, to, you know, other countries, which are still over kind of maybe 50 or 30,000. So they said, look, we just don't have that sort of funds whatever. So something, whether it was good or bad, popped in. And I said, well, have you considered surrogacy? I think it's something I might think about. I was very hesitant, but something put it into my mind. And they were like, well, no. And so we kind of had this, not an awkward, but a little kind of pause. And I said, well, look, I think I'd think about it. So we kind of went away. And I think both parties were like, well, should I call them? Should they call me? Was it? We weren't drinking. I'll just present
okay,
with that.
Yeah, there, yeah.
In case you were going to.
And afterwards, did Morris say to you, what the hell were you thinking?
No, because he was quite a black and white thinker. So he was very much like, yeah, well, you need a baby and Becky can have them because we'd had four. And she seems to be able to do this well. So, yeah, no, he saw the connection and that sort of thing. So I normally sometimes can jump into things, but I was very cautious around the whole thing. So I did make contact with them. I said, look, I am open to kind of thinking a bit more about it. I was 42 at the time. So, you know, age was kind of knocking on the door of like, had the right age for this or not? So I said, look, why don't I go get a full medical? Let me just see physically, can I do this, whatever? And they said, yeah, okay. So it was very kind of step by step. Again, this is not a conversation that happens, you know, all the time in Ireland. If it does come up, it's very much like you said, people going abroad. So I hadn't heard about anyone else doing it that I knew. So I started doing my due diligence of checking things out.
Yeah. And now, obviously, you were okay. When you said it at the time, what was your motivation? Was it you just wanted to help them?
Probably a bit of craziness in my head. Yeah. I mean, it probably
would. Do you really like having babies? Do you like being pregnant?
No, I'm definitely not one of those people that kind of, you know, love the whole pregnancy thing. It just kind of happens. I just kind of get on with it. So my pregnancies were nothing that caused me any concerns. I, you know, everything kind of after the fertility issues, and we had IVF, we had twins. And then either one of the twins clicked a button and 20 months later along came our little surprise fourth child. So, yeah, it wasn't something that I was like, oh, God, I'd love to be pregnant again. It was just something that I had done and it didn't cause me any problems. Yeah.
So
with that.
When you checked out physically, you were fine. Did you have a complicated, detailed discussion about what the terms were almost?
No. So retrospectively, looking back, we probably should have kind of sat down and gone through every scenario, because during the pregnancy, there things came up like As first-time parents, I don't, you know, you tend to be very, very good. You know, like if anything touches the floor, you sterilise the doty. Mm. By the time Brian came along, you know, yeah, if it was under the couch, it was fine. It was grand. Yeah. He was dragged up, poor child. So they were in that first-time scenario. I was in a frame of like, I've had four kids. They survive a lot. So they were talking about they didn't really want me to dye my hair. They might come as shock to people. I'm not naturally blonde. They didn't want me to have fluoride in my toothpaste. So there were some things that they kind of approached me with, and I was like, oh, okay. So most of the time I was fine to kind of, we had an understanding. I understood they were first time parents. They were concerned. You know, I kind of felt, look, I should be fine. They do know now because I did a lot of kind of cover. I did some interviews. I did the Late Late that I did actually secretly dye my hair. Without them knowing. And the child is fine. But before I kind of even got that, those conversations, I had a lot of conversation with people around me, and I was quite lucky that I had quite a selection of people that gave me different opinions. So my mom was very much, you have four healthy children. You're fairly healthy. Why would you I don't want you. So she was very much looking after her baby. I had another friend who was very much like, well, what's the legal thing? Like, this is, you know, you're on the birth cert. You're the child. Like, what if they don't want the child halfway through the pregnancy? You're left with your fifth, you know? And I would say, no, well, I know where I'd live. So I would have dropped the baby on the in the little bassinet. But then I had another friend who was kind of like, and this tends to be a question that I get quite a lot is, Becky, like, how are you going to give away a baby? And I then spoke to a surrogate in the UK. I tracked down some surrogates and I talked to two of them. I said, what's it feel like? Like, what's that? Because I think in my head I'd be fine. This is before. But as we know, as women, hormones kick in and I don't know how my body hormonally is going to react to this. The surrogates I spoke to, and consequently, I have done a few conferences over in Spain because they too are looking for legislation but have a lot harder battle than we do. I've spoken to American surrogates, you know, other foreign surrogates as well. And they all very had a similar, it's a different journey. And this is the time, it's so hard to articulate that to people. But I often use the term that I wasn't giving away a baby. Now I have four kids and I sometimes want to give them away now, but I was giving back their child. So I wanted, I made sure that I didn't donate my egg. So it had no biological. So Ancestry.com, they wouldn't even connect me. That it was there. We went to Cyprus for this procedure. They got a donor egg. They gave their sperm and they implanted two embryos.
Yeah. And how long did that take, actually, by the way, in Cyprus?
They had it was very quick, actually. So we went over. I had a kind of a checkup there. And then they went and did their little bit. I went with all the kids in Morris. We all went in, kind of like had a holiday. And then I went up for 2 days, then up to the north. And I was in. And the embryo, once it fertilized, it takes a couple of days. And then on the third day, they did a transfer.
Okay. And the first one worked, you know,
the
way
it
can be.
And I had that with my own IVF treatment. I was very lucky. I had a few non-starters. But then when they transferred the embryos, my twins, Emma and Siobhan, kind of were delivered.
And now, and Morris and the kids came with you. So obviously, how old were the kids at the time? And I assume they had questions.
Well, do you know what? Sometimes I think it should be kids making legislation and laws in our country because they're untouched by judgment. They're untouched by society. They're untouched by how our perceptions have developed of seeing things and saying, well, that doesn't look right and that's not right. My youngest was 4. The twins were coming on 6 and Rachel was 12, if I'm right with those maths.
You'll pay for that when you get
home.
I know.
Yeah. Well, she's 19 this month. I know when their birthdays are. But I basically said to them that they knew our friends, of course. I said, look, they can't have their own baby. So mommy's going to take their little egg and I'm going to grow it for them.
Mm.
And that was it. That's all I had to say to them. Yeah. And they were like, oh, yeah, okay. My daughter, who had, first of all, like lived life as a single child for 6 years and adorned by all the adults in her life, and then all of a sudden had twins and 20 months later, another child. Her only question was, is this another sibling? And I said, no. I said, no, it's not another sibling. It's not genetically connected to you whatsoever. They're literally going to be taking their little baby, the little embryo, the egg, putting it in mommy's tummy. Mommy's going to grow it. And that was it. And that That's all that needed to be explained.
No, and from your eldest point of view, you know, other parents would see you pregnant, etc. You know, would she ask questions at school? What's the deal there?
No, we lived, at the time, we were living in the Midlands in quite a small village that we had just moved to, really. And I got a text from a mother saying, "Oh, congratulations. I hear you're pregnant. But just to let you know, I think Siobhan," who was one of the twins, so it would have been about 6 and a half, 7. "I think Siobhan's going to is struggling with that because evidently in Newsday she said, 'Mummy's having a baby and giving it away.'"
Yeah.
So I wrote back. Now, in fairness, I did have a bit of fun sometimes with this pregnancy because I wrote back and said, "No, she's right." And then I just had waited. And then I wrote back and explained the situation. We were out to dinner once. Maris and I were out for dinner once. And I remember someone saying, "Oh, congratulations, you know." And he turned around and said, "It's not mine."
Yeah.
So she must have looked at me thinking, "What the hussy?" And then I turned around and said, "No, it's not mine either." So that really kind of threw a spanner in the works. So, yeah, we had a bit of fun with it as well.
And the parents now, apart from the hair dyeing and the fluoride.
They forgave them.
Yeah, and they were first time parents. And so were they kind of a bit fussy around you, kind of thing?
Yeah, they used
make
to,
sure you're eating your greens and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they brought me up chopped melons and things like that and dinners for the kids and things like that. Yeah, so they were your typical, if you just think how you would have been around your first child, it was them. But, you know, I would send videos if there was a movement or, you know, I'd let them put, you know, they'd come up and they'd sit and feel the bump and things like that. So, like, retrospectively, we probably should have put a little bit of kind of structure around how often they came and what I should be eating and what they were on. They got a filter system for the water in the house and, you know, they went all out. And look, it was fine. It was fine.
How often did they come up?
They came up once a week, once or twice a week. Yeah.
Right.
And it was fine, you know.
Yeah.
I always say when it comes to kind of, I've had people reach out to me. I did the late show. I did things like that. So people reach out and I've no problem. I've had siblings reach out saying that they're thinking of doing, and this is happening with surrogacy, especially for friends or siblings are doing this for family, for each other, which is wonderful. But that's why the legislation is just so important, because we need that support, because things like that, we still have to work out. This child is a beautiful child, but if for some reason he turns out to be a right little pain in the bum, he could come after inheritance. Now, I have nothing to give, but, you know, he would still be, because legally I'm on the birth cert.
Describe, Becky, the hoops that you have to, because when he was born, at that moment, you and Morris were the parents legally.
Yes, because we were married.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Morris first had to sign the first thing that he wasn't the father. And then there was the genetic testing that the father was the father of the child. So really it was very much kind of like we were taught now. So now more so lawyers in Ireland, legal people in Ireland have more information and more knowledge about this. But we were still kind of like, okay, what do I have to, like, I had to sign a document to say, I give up the rights to my child, which it's not what I was doing,
you know.
And I found that a little bit hard, in the sense that, you know, I'm not signing away the rights to my child, and I don't want anything to do with the child, and I don't want legal responsibility. Like, the wording was about a biological mother saying, I'm passing responsibility to somebody else. That's not who I was. That's not who I am, you know. So those things, you know, need to be changed. They at any point could have walked away and said, nah.
Yeah, yeah.
I could have gone saying, oh no, you know.
And then the mother of the parents, first they say they recognise that the genetic father of the baby, and then at some point down the road, mommy has to adopt the baby?
So the second parent basically will have to look into adoption of the child, because they have no genetic connection and they didn't give birth, or they didn't. So the second parent in any relationship will have to go along the lines of adoption and things like that. But right from the get-go, like, I would have had signed papers to get passports and things like that. So it's not a big problem, but it's messy, and it's just not the way that it should be.
Yes,
you know, other countries have it sorted. We should be having it sorted. I don't know why it takes so long. I know we've got great backing from our government. All parties are supportive of it, but it's just this.
Yeah. Were they there at the birth?
They were there, yeah. It was a C-section, so they were there. And for me, it was funny, because I've had C-sections with my others, and I go in and you're concerned still about the child, everything's going to be fine. I completely had a different feeling. I was going into this like it was like an operation for me, because I promised everyone I was going to be fine, promised the kids, my parents, Maris, all that sort of thing. And then all of a sudden I was kind of in this scenario. So I found it very nerve wracking. It actually turned out to be my worst pregnancy.
Oh,
my worst.
No.
And they then got the baby straight away. He was brought in and they took him into a different room. And this beautiful nurse in Galway Hospital, which I don't know her name, I wish I did, came over and said, "I'll be your partner." And she held my hand and kind of got me through that latter part. And then I was kind of spoiled. I got a room and every nurse changeover, they'd come in and I'd get that toast and tea multiple times. And I did say I wanted like pate and cheese and certain things afterwards. That was my conditions of this pregnancy. And I did. I got my bag afterwards and that sort of thing. So it was a beautiful experience. I didn't give away any of my children. I gave back. I literally, you know, did something. I grew a baby. I was able to give it to them, an opportunity they couldn't do. It's very hard for people to fully understand. That child now is 7 or 8 and he has started in the conversation. He knows that I...
That
I carried, and that I grew
is,
him.
Is there a way of categorizing your relationship? Like, are you like an aunt or
no, just
a
Becky.
Cousin?
I don't think I need a label. I'm just Becky. And because of our strong friendship and love for that, my friendship to them, I was able to carry him. Again, we come back to that simplicity of children. We, as adults, I think we overcomplicate scenarios where we just need to look at that. That simplicity of, they put an egg in me, I grew it and I gave it back to them. And it was just, it was a lovely, lovely experience. A friend of mine got in touch with me after seeing me on the Late Late that I used to go to school with. He was going through looking to go to surrogacy in America. And I got off the phone, I rang my mom. I said, "Oh, do you remember?" And he's not. And she was like, "No, stop, Becky, don't." Because I think if I was younger, I potentially would have gone again. Yeah, I think I would have done it again. It was a lovely journey.
And because, as you mentioned, you have given interviews about this before.
Yeah, I've done a lot of coverage.
And the way you're describing it, it was a lovely experience.
Yeah.
The reaction from people online and that, was that, did that mirror that?
No, unfortunately not. I had to tell my mum to get off the internet. And I did get kind of your typical trolling of saying that I was a very cold and terrible mother to give away my child, that this child will require a lot of counselling. So there was it was probably about 10%. But surrogacy has so many other different layers that people bring into the conversation. Like we talk about, there's countries in India and that have been shut down. But the scenarios of those things is that you're in countries that have labor issues and conditions are different. So it's a bigger issue when different countries like that, where they do have women who are being offered a year's salary to do something. It's a different conversation in the countries like UK here, America, whatever, women are choosing to do this. And in Spain, they're talking about that, you know, that the government should have the right to say that no woman should be a surrogate. That's one of their conversations. And what we're trying to say is that I chose what I was going to do with my body. I made this choice to do that. In America, it's commercial surrogacy. So women who do this are paid for their services or paid for that journey. In the UK, it's altruistic surrogacy. So you just get paid. It covers your expenses and things like that. I think in Ireland, our legislation seems to be going down the road.
When it finally sees the light of day, because it's been rattling around there.
But it's a good conversation, I think. And I think it's great that people have, because if people are considering doing this, if it's for a close family member or situation, you have that trust and that foundation. So it's safer. Well, you hope it to be safe. Mm. But I would encourage you to get that legal, no matter if it's your bestest friend or your sister or whatever, that you get that legal advice, that you sit down and go through all scenarios and you have some sort of agreement. And if it's someone that wants to be a surrogate, I would wait until the legislation comes in before they look at that. But
Becky, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today. That was Becky Loftus there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.